for BYU Idaho Radio. I'm Celeste Simmons. I'm here today with Hunter Galbraith, and he will be hiking Mount Everest starting in April 2024. And I'm excited to hear about his journey with preparing for the expedition and all the everything that journey entails. So thank you so much for meeting with me today, Hunter.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
So when did you decide that Mount Everest was something that you wanted to accomplish?
I don't know. I've always looked at it and always read books about it. It didn't really sink in until this year, and I was actually rejected 4 times from it. So on my 5th time, I got in with the expedition team I wanted to get in. And how that came to be is me getting into the world finals of mountaineering. That just opened. That was a gateway almost. It just opened for me to be able to, you know, email and really pitch an expedition team that I really wanted to be able to get in. So that's kind of my way to do it. It's something that I've always had, you know, a dream of doing, but, you know, was way harder to get in than I ever thought it was.
Mm-hmm. And so obviously a lot of people in this area in Southeast Idaho, I mean, a lot of people like hiking. There's the Tetons, there's Yellowstone, there's lots of little hikes around. But hiking Everest is an expedition. It's not just like doing any normal hike around here in the area. But I assume since you grew up in Sugar City, right?
Yes.
I assume that you grew up with a love for the outdoors. So when did this love for hiking and climbing begin?
I think it all started with my dad. My dad, for, you know, everyone that knows him, everyone's like, this dude is crazy. So he's an ultra marathon runner. And last year he was in the world finals for mountaineering. He's honestly like the true, like, he's the one that's like amazing, right? And what happened was when I was little, we were climbing and everything, like since my earliest memories almost of just climbing up mountains and hiking and everything like that. And, you know, we'd go into the Tetons in a day, do like a 43 mile run through the Tetons. I'd go on a 50 mile run. And yeah, that's just kind of how I grew up. It's just like, this was the normal thing. We would be up in the mountains and going on a 20 something mile run in middle of April, which still was snow in the mountains. And we'd get up, you know, and start bucking snow and do that for miles and miles and miles. And we just loved it. So, you know, 15, 16 is when I started doing ultra marathons and just training with my dad just for fun. And then realized I was super good at it and got into that field. And then from there, mountaineering is just a step away. So.
Mm-hmm. And how does your dad feel about you doing Mount Everest?
Oh, he would do it. If my mom would let him, he would definitely do Mount Everest. I don't think that would scare him whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So the hard thing about Everest though, and you got to think about this, it's a 60-day expedition. So you're out on that mountain, and how it works is you'll climb. There's a couple base camps. There's a base camp, and then there's a couple camps. There's 4 camps. So you'll climb up to a certain camp where it's a certain altitude, and then you'll descend down the mountain. And you're just basically doing that to prep. So that takes from starting the expedition to ending is 60 days. And anything can happen in those 60 days. And when you get up to high elevation as well, and you get like a little cut, what happens is your body can't even heal. So you're going all the way down a few days before you do the final push to the summit, just to heal for a couple days, and then you'll do a push to the summit. So I was just talking to a guy this week that summited Everest a few years ago, and he was telling me a lot of like crazy insights about Everest. But yeah.
And you said that you were rejected, and I read online that it was you were rejected 4 times from doing the expedition. How does it feel to finally have the opportunity to do it?
Good. And this is kind of where I lie right now. There's almost 3 phases. First, you got to get into the expedition that you want to get into, which sometimes is the most difficult. It's super difficult. So that's super hard. And then second is paying the money, and third is summiting the mountain. So there's three parts. I'm on the second part, is, you know, raising funds, reaching out to get sponsored, and I spent 18 hours this week just working on that part, right? And then I'm still doing my trainings as well and everything. And here's the nice part when it comes to my training and preparation with that, because I'm doing a 190-mile race through the Alps in August. You know, it's helping me for my Everest, you know, expedition next year. So I'm keeping my body in shape, and that's just basically where I'm going. Just break it down into three parts and then tackle each one as they come.
Mm-hmm. And what were you telling yourself to keep yourself motivated during those times that you were being rejected from doing the expedition? What kind of helped you move forward and have hope that you would be accepted one day?
I don't know. I never really thought, maybe I'm too naive, I never really thought about that, of like being sad about not being accepted. I just like put my head down and kept writing emails and kept looking around and stuff like that until something came. Like it never really occurred to me that I was being rejected. I always kind of knew, just like, if I really want this, I could. It's just how I draft different emails and sell myself, and that's kind of what I shop for, I guess.
And so obviously the training for an expedition like this has to be super intense. Can you kind of walk me through what your training looks like right now?
Yeah, so I don't know, last week, you know, I'm working out every day. Last week I did strength training, and then days, and then I ran 4 days, and 4 days around 60 miles. So, you know, last Friday and Saturday, I did 20 miles on Friday and 15 on Saturday. You know, that's what kind of my days look like. And here's the reality of kind of what like my goals are right now. Some weeks I hit them and some weeks I don't. It all depends on how much I have my plate, because I'm doing, you know, BYU Idaho full time. I am reaching out to sponsors and I'm training. So life's kind of hectic. But right now, and this is just, you know, getting into the training. So this is like lighter. More in the summer, it's going to be a lot heavier than this. But right now, my goal is 60, 65 miles plus 10,000 feet of vertical elevation gain. So of just climbing on the stair stepper, or treadmill, running on the treadmill. And that's kind of what it's like now. It's going to get to 75, 80 miles a week plus 14 or 15,000 feet of vertical elevation. So it's kind of what we're looking at.
Wow. And you mentioned that you're also studying full time at BYU Idaho. How do you balance between training, finding sponsors, and being a full time student?
Yeah. So that's the difficult part. And I think it comes down to this. And this is the reality of it. Something has to take, right? And for me, honestly, it's been my social life. And if someone like sees me, the only time, you know, I have a social life is if they're almost doing something with me, with whether it's running or like studying together or whatever it may be. Besides that, my social life of hanging outside of training is minimal. It's like a few hours maybe, and that's probably it, like 1 to 2 hours a week. You know, that's what I've been doing, and sometimes nothing. So that's something to always think about with students. If you want to do something, social life might have to cut, or something has to give, whether it's sleep or something like that. With me, I can't compromise my sleep because I'm training so hard. So that's kind of where I give. But it's nice because, you know, I have a lot of friends that love running. So I run, and that's my social life of running with them and talking to them. So you can plan things throughout your day. So for me, it's actually not bad. Like it doesn't feel any different. I'm just planning almost people around my day and just keeping my you know, focused and everything like that. But what's interesting is it's not hard for me to focus on this. Like, it's been super easy. It's like, you know, if no one knew about it, I would still do it. Like, I love it so much, and it's not been hard for me whatsoever. Like, I haven't felt it difficult at all.
And have you ever done any other exhibitions in the past that have prepared you for this moment of climbing Everest?
You know, that's a hard question, because in reality, there are so many things that are a part of it. So I've trained a lot when it comes to running and climbing. So that's something that, like, I've done, but Everest is a whole nother beast. You know, it's like you're going to war and you're like, okay, I've done this training and I've done, but you got to kind of piece it together. So, like, a couple things that I'll do is cold plunging. I literally love cold plunging, and I'll just jump in to a lake and do it for 10 to 15 minutes up to my neck. And I love it. It's amazing. So that's one thing. Another thing is, you know, getting miles in, running up in the mountains, and, you know, doing, I used to do 30 or 30 plus miles, literally an ultra marathon every single weekend. So I would sign up for an ultra marathon and run one of those. So that's another thing. Another thing is, you know, wilderness survival. Me and my dad would go out on a wilderness survival. And here's the thing, when it's cold and it's at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're trying to sleep and you're freezing, you got to get up and do push-ups and wave your hands and stuff like that. And just like, all those little things, when you put them together, they get you ready. But if you're just going to do one thing, like, it's not going to work. You got to do so many and keep everything, you know, on edge, just basically sharpen your blade to do Everest. And that's kind of how it works. But what I have right now is, you know, I'm training, or I'm pacing a guy on a 100-mile race on the 25th. So what is that, in 10 days, 9 days? Oh, no, it's not like next, that might be next weekend. So I'm pacing a guy. And then on the 4th of April, I have a 62-mile race in Colorado. A month after that, I have a 100-mile race. And then I just have tons of training runs in the mountains. And I have World Finals, which is a 190-mile race through the Alps. So all these things kind of prepare you. So
yeah, you have a lot to look forward to before even climbing Everest. And do you have any mountaineers or expeditionists that you look up to and that you admire?
Yeah, so there's one. So there's Sir Edmund Hillary. He's the first guy that's climbed Everest. So he's an amazing figure. The one that I look up to the most, though, his name's Nims Persia. He's a Nepalese guy. And I don't know, probably some people that listen to this, they've probably heard of him. He does 14 peaks. So it's a Netflix, it's on Netflix. It's a documentary of him, you know, climbing 14 of the highest peaks. Here was the crazy thing. When I was trying to get into the expedition, he works with Elite Expeditions and he takes people on them. And that's the company I wanted to get into. So I got rejected so many times from them. I finally got in to Elite Expeditions where he's at. So, you know, it's cool that person I look up to, you know, I'll be climbing with and stuff like that. Like, I'll be, you know, get to know him a little bit more.
Yeah, that's amazing. I didn't recognize the name, but I've seen 14 Peaks, and now it sounds familiar. That guy is amazing. Yeah, that's
so awesome. Yeah, Nims, I'm with Elite Expeditions, so doing stuff with them.
That's awesome. And my last question for you is, what do you tell yourself to keep yourself motivated when training gets hard, when maybe you miss having a social life and seeing your friends as often as you used to? What do you tell yourself to keep yourself going?
You know, that's super difficult. Sometimes, like in runs, I like just have zero motivation, like truly, like it's just like, oh my gosh, like I did a 15 miler yesterday, 15 miler day before, I did a 10 miler day before that. Now I have a 15 miler I have to do today. And I think there's something where even if you don't feel right, you still have to do it. Like I don't know, but maybe I've trained myself, maybe it's discipline. I don't know what you call it, but almost a brain, like a switch I can switch in my brain, and it's just like I don't care the time that this is going to take. I still got to get this done no matter what. And that's something that like has been super hard, and it's always challenging. And I hit points where I feel like great and I can run 20 miles, and hit other days where it's hard to do 10. But I really feel that when it comes down to discipline and how much you want it, you know, it shouldn't be that big of a fight, even though it is. But you're like, hey, I want this. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm. That's just how I work, I guess. It's
Yeah.
not perfect, though.
No, for sure. But that's some great advice, I think, for anyone who's doing anything and working towards any goal. We have moments like that. So just finding that motivation within ourselves is what counts.
Yeah, for sure. You gotta
Well,
want it, I guess.
yeah. Is there anything else that you want the listeners to know about your expedition that's coming up?
I'd probably say this, like if my listeners want to learn more or follow me, they can just do it on my Instagram. I think it's Hunter Galbraith, but I think it's Good Galbraith, my tag, I guess. And that's where I just update a lot of people, where a lot of people are following me on that. I'm also launching a website so they can follow me. And honestly, this is just for to motivate other people to just do, you know, crazy things. I guess this is something that I love, and I love, you know, extreme sports and stuff like that. And that's kind of like what I binge watch. And if some people want to learn more and stuff like that and have questions, like it's nice because I'm open and I love talking to people and stuff like that because I'm always on runs. So people just call me up and ask me questions. And yeah, so anyone's open to talk to me or message me and stuff. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Hunter, for meeting with me today. And the community is looking forward to following your journey on Mount Everest. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you. And you have a good one.
Thank you.